Okay? Some of you guys know about the cat, the story between me and the cat we have. Used to. Gone. While my daughter is and her husband is in town, they keep the cat. I don't mind cat as long as they can, that cat can, don't make a mess, don't leave a hairball, and can flush the toilet, and don't leave a litter box with a stinky thing, and don't sit on top of the couch. Speaking of that cat, I have a good cat story about it. There's a wife called man, her husband from Italy, and she said, "How's my cat?" Of course, the guy is living in Chicago, and she said, being kind of not being so tactful, he said, "Oh, your cat is dead." I said, "Oh, honey, you could have said a little bit more tactful. You could be a little bit more tactful. You know, you could have said, when I called you from Italy, the cat is not doing well. She got on the roof and she fell. When I called you from London, you could have said, well, I took her to the vet and she's not really doing well. When I get to New York, you could have said, she's dead. You could have break the news a little bit gradually so it's not so harsh." So, trying to be nice, her husband said, "Okay, I'll do my best." And she asked, "So how's my mom?" He said, "She's on the roof." As I, you can tell, I don't care about much about the cat, but I like cat. They taste like a chicken. There are so many recipes, so little cats go around. All right, let's settle down. As I'm getting older, I notice my eyes getting bad, worse and worse, and I have a bifocal, and now I need a little bit more strength on the glasses. And I cannot hear well. I'm losing my hearing on top of it. And I'm supposed to remember a few things, but I'm not remembering. I'm forgetting a lot. And I forgot what I'm going to say. Anyway, a lot of things go wrong in our body. That's the physical realm. However, sometimes we tend to have a selective hearing without any intention. With a full acknowledging and the fully knowing that what we hear, but we tend to have a selective hearing. For example, let's pick on teens since they did such a good job. When mom and dad says, "Okay, take the garbage out, do this chore, then you can go to mall with your friend in Tucson." Guess what they remember? Go to mall with your friend in Tucson. They don't forget, they didn't hear that such as take the garbage out, clean your bedroom. You know, you have to go in like this and, you know, walk all over then in a dead body or the whatever, the leftover clothes from the 2 years ago or pizza. Our husbands are not much different. Wives give us this honey-do list. You open it up, it goes down and roll down the few miles. So start with, Carl, are you listening? Carl, you listening? Okay. Like a clean the garage. Who was guilty for that, right? Clean the garage, do this, do this, do this. That's why they call it honey-do list. But we have a problem with the understanding that uncomprehensive the demand from our wives. However, we have a very good memory when it comes to the football game. What time? Which station? And the national, what you call that thing, the playoff for the college basketball game. We remember which channel. So we don't miss out. We flip the channels. We have a selective hearing. We have a selective understanding. Bless you. That's not just limited in the spiritual, physical realm, but also goes to the spiritual realm. When God tells us what to do in the Word of God, all of a sudden we turn our deaf ear to Him. If we don't like it, We don't listen to him. Ladies and gentlemen, this book, the Bible, manual, living manual, this is not a buffet table. You don't come to this place with this word. You don't pick and choose what you want, what I want. Either you take the whole thing, you don't take at all. It's not a buffet. We cannot have a selective hearing. When God says, we do it. Because he's our master, he's our savior. If we become a born-again Christian, he becomes our Lord. The Lord means he's the one who commands us. We don't tell him what to do. However, when it comes, we pray to him. We want him to be all ears, don't we? Don't look at me, you never do that. I do. I want him to stop everything and listen to me when I pray. But when he talks to us, when he speaks to us, we don't listen. Why? Because we try to override his wish with our own wish. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 11, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, let us turn off our selective hearing. Let us be all ears as you are all ears when we pray. Let our minds open, our heart to receive your word, to obey. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's title is Ears to Hear, Not to Ignore. Ears to Hear, Not to Ignore. Verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John, that is John the Baptist, John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" What would that be, the coming one? It means Messiah. John the Baptist is imprisoned in the fortress of Machaerus. He's imprisoned there because he courageously spoke against, denounced what Herodias Antipas and Herodias was doing. Herodias is Herod Antipas' brother's wife. This looks like a major soap opera, don't you think? She is the brother's wife, and he snapped her so he could have her. And John the Baptist denounced what he's doing and called it adultery. No one in the kingdom would do that because they didn't have a gut to do it. John, being courageous, being straightforward, he did that, and they threw him in the prison. While he's sitting in the prison, being a cousin of Jesus Christ, John the Baptist was starting to doubt what Jesus is doing. Why? In a way, I can understand it. He's in a very stressful situation. He's just literally stuck, no pun intended, inside a prison, rotting. And he's wondering, okay, my cousin Jesus, suppose if he's a Messiah, shouldn't he deliver Israel from the hand of these Roman people? He was expecting Messiah to come in a political and a military way to set them free. However, that's not just the intention. He's setting them free spiritually, which is more demanding, more important. So instead of rebuking John the Baptist and his disciple, Jesus told them, very tactfully, we find it in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Blind see, the lame walk, the leper were cleansed, and the deaf hear. Dead are raised, and the poor have the gospels to preach to them." And underline next sentence, please. "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." I will read that again. "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Me, what does, who is me? Jesus. What would he say? Gospel of Jesus Christ. the salvation message. A lot of people are offended because of salvation message. If you don't believe me, go talk to your neighbor, go talk to your co-worker at work about Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you agree with me that if we talk about God, let's say God is real, nobody disagree. Very few atheists will say, yeah, there's no God. But when they're in the foxhole and they're dying, they will call out to him. However, replace the name God with Jesus, all of a sudden you draw the line on the sand. It's no longer God. It's no longer quote-unquote, okay, hunky-dory God story. You know, great theologian Oprah Winfrey, you guys know her, daytime talk show host. She hosted in Yankee Stadium about right after 9/11. Multi-religion, whatever the events, she says that all gods are the same. Muslim God, Buddhist God, Christianity God, Judaism God are the same. No, they are not the same God. There is only one God. That God is in the Bible. Then he's mentioned, he's the one God who is all omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And he cannot be compared with any other God because they are not God at all. We cannot come up with our own theology. God is ever gentle. To talk to people, John, Jesus is ever so gentle and speak to him. Now, there's a difference between seeker and scoffer. You know the difference? Seeker is wanting to know the truth. If you come to here to hear the word of God, you're welcome. If you come here to scoff at God, I'm not saying you are not welcome. However, you will not hear the truth because your mind is already made. If you come here to scoff at what Jesus has done, you're not listening. You choose to stick your finger or stick the spiritual banana into your spiritual ear, you pretend not to hear. I'm asking you, take it out. Take them out. Verse 7, let's go on. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitude concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What did you go to see? A man clothed in a soft garment? Indeed, those who wear the soft garment clean in a king's house." John, as I mentioned, John is not a popular teacher. He is a straightforward, he's a straight shooter. He's a man of conviction and man of courage. And Jesus mentioned that he is the greatest prophet of all time. And he is the last prophet. Why? Since Jesus came, all of a sudden he's drawing the line between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's go into verse 9. "But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written," in Jesus is quoting Micah 3:1, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there has not been raised one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is the least of the kingdom," underline, "he who is the least of the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Who would that be? Who would that be? That's you and me. Anyone who put their faith in Christ, greater than John the Baptist. I'll explain to you a little bit later. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent takes it by force. For all the prophet and the law prophesied until John. If you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. And he," underline, "he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Why Jesus say John the Baptist is the greatest kingdom, but yet the least of the kingdom of God will be greater than John the Baptist? Why? I mentioned this to you, some of you guys who came to the Bible study last week and last Thursday night. I am not good at puzzle, especially this big jigsaw puzzle. It has 5,000 pieces. How would you like to put that puzzle together without the outside cover? You have no idea what they're supposed to look like. And somebody shake it and dump it on your lap and here, put it together. You cannot put together that puzzle unless you really are good at that kind of thing. Maybe you can find the little four corners. I stopped there. However, if you're good at it, you can start to put that puzzle back together. But it takes a long time. It would be great to have the front cover picture, don't you think? Why? These people, this Elijah, Isaiah, all these prophets, including David and Daniel, Ezekiel, all these people got the bits and pieces of puzzle, of the prophecy. For who? Messianic prophecy. It's for Messiah. They didn't get the full picture. Do we have a full picture? Yes. It's on your lap. That's Jesus Christ. That's the full picture. That's why they couldn't be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, because we have the full picture. They lived under the law. Now we're living under grace. Jesus mentioned that he is Elijah to come. Elijah who is to come. What does it mean? Does it mean the Bible is condoning reincarnation? However, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, all come to die once and standing in the judgment. Okay, let's make this very clear to all of you guys. Pay attention to me, please. If you die, you will not come back for 100,000 times, or sometimes as a Russian prince or European princess, whatever, or farmer, or beetle, or cow. You're not coming back with one of those. I don't care what the Shirley MacLaine, the actress or priestess of New Age group claims. You're not coming back. You die once, you stand in the judgment seat. It's clear. The Word of God says so. Jesus is not saying that John the Baptist is Elijah in John's body. It's the spirit of John, spirit of Elijah. If you don't believe me, let's go to the book of John, chapter 1, please. John, chapter 1. John is about three books away from Matthew. John, chapter 1, verse 21. Why don't we hear from the Elijah himself? John chapter 1, verse 21. He was asked, they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." Seventh-day Adventists, some of you guys know the background of Seventh-day Adventists. They says that John was reincarnation of John the Elijah. He just said he's not. Should I believe in Seventh-day Adventist doctrine, or should I believe the Word of God? The Word of God. I ask you to underline, he who has an ear, ears to hear, let him hear. Some of you guys who studied the book of Revelation, remember this simple phrase. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, the Lord, to the church. For seven times in chapters 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, he mentioned. Why? Because God wants us to hear him carefully, not selectively, wholeheartedly. Jewish religious leaders refuse to listen to John the Baptist. Why? Because they have a religion in their heart. They couldn't humble themselves like a children. Nothing wrong with having a childlike faith. Do you hear me? Nothing wrong with having a childlike faith, but if we act like a childish, we are not humble, we become prideful. That's what these people are doing. Are we different? Are we different? How many people do you find who are extremely religious, yet they have no relationship with Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about religion you have. It's a relationship you have with Jesus Christ. You can come to church for 100,000 times. You might be able to live in the house, in the church. Church mouse cannot be saved just because they listen to the salvation message 100,000 times. Has everything to do with the salvation. Have everything to do with the relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 16. But to whom shall I be likened this generation? It is like a children sitting at the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking. They say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of a tax collector and sinner. Look the next sentence carefully, please. But the wisdom is justified by her children. Nowadays, the flu is going around rapidly. When you go to this clinic, they give you a little shot, right? What you call that? Flu shot. Or fancy word is a vaccine, right? What is the vaccine? Vaccine is a weakened or killed germ, that particular disease. They put that thing in under your skin to build immune system. Religion is like that. You may wonder, where are you going with that thing? Religion is like, if I'm a religious person and I have a religion in my heart, I taste just enough portion of, what is to be like child of God. And all of a sudden in my heart, I think I have everything down. In other words, I get to have a false sense of security in my heart and not having true relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people think that they can get away because they are religious people. There's the two things that are required. Again, I mentioned this to the people at the Bible study. Sanctification is in process. Let me repeat it. Sanctification is in process. Sanctification requires two things. Number one, faith. Number two, obedience. Sanctification is being processed. In other words, I'm set apart for Christ. I'm living for Christ. I'm doing things for Christ. But I got to be sanctified in process. I have to have two things. I have to have a faith in Christ, and then I have to be obedient. If I'm not obedient, I'm not being sanctified. If I'm not obedient, how can I prove that I am a born-again Christian? If I cannot show the fruit of a born-again Christian, how can I claim that I'm a born-again? Forget about the Calvinism. Forget about the Arminianism. If I'm not living for Christ, how can I claim that I'm a Christian? You know what I'm saying? It is important to have those two elements in our heart. Faith and obedience. That's the process of being sanctified. All right, let's go into the verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works has been done because of they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done and you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in that day the judgment for you, judgment day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which are done in you have been done in Sodom, it would be remain until this day. But I will say to you that shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. How tragic these people, the Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin, they saw the miracles of God. 10 miracles. Out of that, 5 miracles happened. God, Jesus Christ displayed his miracles in Capernaum alone. Capernaum did not receive. The people in Capernaum did not receive Jesus Christ, his message. And he was left desolate for a long, long time. When it says it will be desolate, he means it. It happens. Can we exchange these city names, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, to something else, such as San Francisco, New York, Sarita, Green Valley? Can we do that? Can we do that without losing context? Yes. This country is founded by our founder, forefathers, who believe in Jesus Christ, who based on their religion, their faith in Christ. Do you know what kinds of building they built when they set up the town? Church. Well, you know what the second one is? School. Not the movie theater, not the salon, so they can drink. No, they set church first. Because if you read the Constitution, literally leaks with the faith in Christ Jesus. However, now we're trying to denounce the very God who blessed this country with a slap on his face. Americans want God to bless America. Americans want God to protect America, but they don't want to listen. They removed the Ten Commandments from the building. They removed the Ten Commandments from the school. Last night I was watching the TV and the previews talks about Indian religion. If we talk about Christianity on Prime TV, ACLU will go berserk. But it's okay for them to show the American Indian religion. And they show them how to do it. One of the worst kind is the one that run by our taxpayers' money, public broadcasting station, PBS. They will show you anything but Christianity. And they ask, we ask, American ask, God bless America. God will judge America. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, he who did not know and yet committed things deserving a stripe. Why don't we just turn to Luke chapter 12, all right? It's a very important verse. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of the stripe, shall be beaten with a few. Next sentence is very important. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him there will be asked more. What does it mean? If you are blessed spiritually with a great deal of Bible knowledge, you will be required a lot more than somebody who does not have a Bible knowledge. If you are blessed financially, if you are raking money just for fun of it because you are so loaded, God, so much is more required from you. Because God is the one who is blessing you. Don't think that you, because you are doing well, because you are so good. God gave you that job. God gave you a body. God gave you breath to do that job. If we think that we are not accountable to God, we are deadly wrong. Let's go on to the verse 25. that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. In other words, I can put this in four words. No Son, no Father. And the one to whom the Son The Son's wills to rip him. We should not be so religious that we lose the relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd like to make an application and invitation same time with the next three verses. This is so important verse, and I highly recommend you guys to put this in your heart. This will literally save you from the time of difficulty. Memorize, put it in your heart so that it can minister to you. Let's go on to the first verse. And I find the three applications. Number one, come. Number two, take. Number three, learn. So with a come, verse 28. Come to me, who is speaking, Jesus. He said, come to Jesus. All you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Religions, any religions around the world will demand you to do things. Jehovah's Witness, they have to go around every Saturday to earn their way to heaven. Same thing with the Mormons, same thing with the Muslims. They have to bow down toward Mecca 5 times a day to earn their right to heaven. However, you know what Jesus says on the cross? He says, done. Instead of do, he says, done. There's nothing for us to do. This is a gift of God. If we earn the gift, that's not a gift. That's a wage. This is a gift of God. Let's go into the verse 29. We find the second command says, take. Take my yoke up on you. This is a deeper experience. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, and he have peace with God. There's two different kinds of peace. Peace with God, peace of God. Peace with God is a relationship with Jesus Christ. For that is first foremost required. To have a second one, peace of God, we got to have a peace with God. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 8 says, be anxious for nothing. It goes on, and peace of God that passes all men's understanding will come to you and guard your heart. To have the second one, as I said before, you've got to have a first one with peace with God. This word yoke, how many guys use the word yoke last couple days? Other than, you know, egg yolk. No, I know, Larry, that's not what I meant. But the yoke is one of those things that you put it on the animal to travel, field, whatever they have to do. However, if the farmer knows what they're doing, they don't put the brand new cow, brand new oxen with the brand new yoke. They don't start right away. They put the experienced cow or ox next to the brand new one, put the yoke together. Guess who gets the most of yoke? The one he experienced. That's what Jesus is speaking. Take my yoke upon you. And he goes on. The verse 29, second portion said, learn from me. That's the application. Learn from me. Now, first one is a sentence, a command for us to come to him and take a piece from him. Take a piece of him. Take a piece with him. Then he says, he's telling us, don't stop there. Learn. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How can you find the rest in Christ? When the things go wrong every day and the turmoils happen, the things not going well, how can we find the rest? There's only one way. Faith in God. Faith equals resting in Jesus. There's no other way. What if the doubt comes? If you let the doubt come and faith go out from your heart. But if you let the faith stay, doubt has to stay out. What if doubt comes again? Get into the Word. Remind yourself, remind myself, God can do all things. He loves us. He allowed the things to happen to us, and He hasn't lost control. No matter what kind of situation you're facing, He hasn't lost control. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. Let's stand up and pray. You know what? Sit down. I forgot the major thing. This is what happens when I don't have a bulletin in front of me. Do you have a bulletin? Anyone have a bulletin? Thank you, George. Claudia, have a camera ready. Sorry, Robert. I looked at him. He looked at me like, "Are you an idiot?" See what happens when the people get old? They forget things. Hold on, guys. We have a child dedication. Robert and Stephanie are coming up. How embarrassing. Madison. She's sleeping. Can you see her? She's pretty. Let's pray for Madison. Heavenly Father, what joy this is to lift this child and dedicate her to you. We're asking your blessing upon Stephanie and Robert, and asking you to give them extra measure of wisdom to show them how to raise this child in your way to bring glory to you. Lord Jesus, we are asking you to watch over this little one, this precious little one, and guide her. Let her come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ at her early age. She may glorify you with her life. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being gracious to me. All right, let's stand up. Let's try again. All right. I mentioned about come. I mentioned about take. I mentioned about learn. If you don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, guess what? You don't have a peace with God. That means you are enmity with God. That means you are enemy with God. It doesn't matter how religious you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. In God's sight, our good behavior is nothing more than filthy rag. So I invite you today, come, receive Him. I'm not going to ask you to bow your head or close your eyes. Word of God says that if you accept me in the presence of men, I will accept you in the presence of angels. If you denounce me in the presence of men, I will denounce you in the presence of angels. So, while other people's eyes open, while other people's heads up, if you're going to receive Him, receive Him now.